The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, the Aflamid Beis, or Banal Aflamid Beis, or Beis, asks a question. The Mishnah began, Dinim Mamnis, the Echad Dinim Mamnis, Echad Dinim Nefashis, the both cases that involve Dinim Mamnis or Dinim Nefashis, beat on Drisha V'Chakira. The Torah requires that we thoroughly examine the Edim with all types of questions. Shnemar, Mishpat Echad Yielochem. Ask the Gemara question, if indeed the halacha is that by dinei mominus we have to have drisha v'chakira, ask the Gemara, we know from a number of places in Shas that a shtar me'ucher, a shtar that was written after the date of the actual loan transaction took place, is kosher. Frek the Gemara, ask the Gemara, if a shtar me'ucher is kosher, so we're going to write the loan took place Rosh Chodesh Adar. The shtar was written Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And the dates don't really mean anything that we should be able to have Hazama. But if Dinei Mamnis requires Drisha V'Chakira, and presumably the need for Drisha V'Chakira is because the need for Drisha V'Chakira is because we need that Beis Din should be able to bring Eidim to be Mazim, how can we allow a Shtar Me'ucher? So the Gemara gives a number of terutzim. What I would like to focus on, Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach, and the Shiurim, is the terutzim of the Gemara, besides to answer the obvious contradiction that we just identified, also have very fundamental halachas, a very fundamental approach to weigh dayonim, approach a shayla. The Gemara gives the teretz, kan b'din meruma, kan b'din she'en meruma. Meaning that when we have a case where it's, where we see that there's something dishonest happening, so there the halacha is that we need drisha v'chakira. Kan b'din she'en meruma, when we don't see such a situation developing, drisha v'chakira are not required. And Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil Kan, explains that when the Gemara says kan b'din meruma, it doesn't mean that we know for sure that this is a situation of dishonesty. Because if we know for sure that that is what's happening, that Yonim should not even deal with such a question. Because the Gemara says, in Masechet Shavuos, the Aflamid Amud Beis, regarding a dayan that knows that there's a case that's going on that is certainly dishonest, so the dayan should not say, Hoyl ve'edim me'edin lefonai, echten esadin. Since there are edim here, so I'm just going to do whatever according to what the edim say, via edim hashemim, and if they're lying, it'll be their problem. Says the Gemara, the Torah Kedosha teaches us, midvar shechet tirchok, and stay away from that case at all, entirely. Rather, says Tosfos, that the dayan sees that something irregular here, but not that it's for sure a din meruma. However, the Rosh gives a different distinction between our Gemara and the Gemara Masechet Shavuos. He says, Masechet Shavuos is referring to a situation where the dayan sees that the person who's making the request, the toiveya, is saying something wrong. So the dayan should just walk away from that then Torah. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where the person, the nitva, is saying something wrong. So there we take a different approach and we do have the Din Torah. But, of course, as our Gemara says, the dayan has to do whatever is in his power to come to the truth. Rashi, in our Gemara, Divrei HaMaskel Maruma, says, Shebezden Makirim B'toivei Zeh Shu Ramayi. Oy Shemakirim Tanis Ramayi B'dvarav. So it seems from Rashi that, unlike Tosfos, that it is referring to a situation where he knows certainly that there's something wrong happening. So how will Rashi be able to be reconciled with the Gemara in Masechta Shavuos? So Rabbeinu Yaino, the Ran, have a different way of looking at it. One way of learning is it makes a difference who is the Ramai. If the Edom, if we see that the Edom are Ramoim, then just walk away from the Din Torah. In our Gemara, it's not that the Edom are identified as the people who are acting inappropriately, but rather it's the Taveya or the Nitva. And there we have Drisha v'chakira to get to the truth. Another way of explaining the difference between our Gemara and the Gemara Masechta Shavuos, the Rishonim suggest, is if the Gemara Masechta Shavuos is referring to a situation where the Dayan himself saw what happened. And he himself saw what happened, and he knows that what the Edom is saying just isn't true. So if that's the case, stay away from the Din Torah. Whereas our Gemara is referring to a situation where the dying has a suspicion. But even though the dying has a suspicion, it's not that he himself actually saw different. And therefore, he shouldn't walk away from the Din Torah. He shouldn't walk away from the Din Torah, but he should do whatever it takes to investigate. It's interesting. If we look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Chof Dalid, Halacha Gimel, says the Rambam, Dayan Shebo Lefonav Din Meruma, a dayan that comes to him, a Din Meruma, Lo Yoyme Echetena V'yochal Avoyin El Edom, he shouldn't say, I'm going to get a Ve'alv, and if there's something wrong here, it'll be the problem for the Edom. Mishum Shenema Medvar Shechot Tirchot, El Yidroish V'yachkor Hetif. If after doing the drish v'chakira he sees that there's nothing wrong here, he's still uncomfortable and he still believes that there's something dishonest here. Or he doesn't feel comfortable relying on these edim, even though he can't actually find a reason to say that they are disqualified. Or he believes that the Edom may be honest. Maybe one of the two litigants did something to cause the Edom to say the wrong thing or to fool them. Maybe the Edom have more to say that they haven't said. The Dayan is not allowed to paskin. He should walk away from this Din Torah. Somebody else who's more comfortable could paskin the Shaila. And this is the way the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Simet Hezvav, Sif Gimel, and Sif Dalet. This is the way that the Shulchan Aruch seemingly also follows very much the Psak of the Rambam. The only thing that one could suggest in learning the Shulchan Aruch, going back to something we mentioned a moment ago, is that the Shulchan Aruch also maybe differentiates between the Toiveya, where we see the dishonesty. Is it by the Toiveya or by the Nitva? as the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Dalet says, Siman Tezvov, B'medvar Mamurim Shetavei Rameya. When is this, when the person making the claim is a Ramay? Aval Kshanitva Ramay, if it's the Nitva that we think is being dishonest, and a dying Yochel is Dalet, so the dying should not just walk away from that Shaila, Shlo Yistaka HaRamay B'Ramosay. We don't want that the Ramay should win. Al Yidroi Fiyachki Yofel Vatl Ramosoi, Vim Niroloi Beumden Demucha Shuchai Vichavienu, Im Dain Yochid Mumcha Vyoch Bidor. So it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch here differentiates, like we mentioned from the Rosh, if it's the Toiveya or the Nitva, but he says that once you're getting involved with the Torah, that you see that there's dishonesty involved, in that case, the dying has to really be very strong. And he has to be very certain in what approach he's taking. And if not, he should not get involved. And moreover, Dermas suggests that in such situation, the dying may take measures which are not normally taken in other Dinei Torah. Moreover, and this is very much in line with what we've been learning, says the Ram, that even though Al Gemara is saying that by Din Merumah, we have to, that's when Drisha and Chakira are required, says the Ram, when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, as the Gemara mentioned already in Al Masechta, and the Gemara will mention again Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach, there's very serious Drisha v'chakira that's required. The Gemara mentioned they asked the most minute details, and if the Edom didn't know the answer, or if the answers of the Edom did not match, they were disqualified. Here, we only do as much Drisha v'chakira as the Dayonim think is necessary. That's as much Drisha v'chakira we do. We don't do any more. The Gemara gives a different teretz when Drisha v'chakira are required and one is not. Rav Ashi Amos Nisi Kedashanina Kro Kedashanina. The Gemara mentioned the limit of Reish Lakish as a raya to this teretz kam b'din meruma kam b'din she'en meruma, because Reish Lakish Rami k'siv b'tzadek tish b'nam y'secha v'k'siv Tzadik, tzadik, teredoyf. Ha keitzad. How do we define these two psukim? Kam b'din meruma, kam b'din meruma. Rav Ashi says, no, the Mishnah says you need drish v'chakira. How do we explain the pasuk of tzadik tish b'nam y'secha or tzadik, tzadik, teredoyf? One pasuk is talking about din and one pasuk is by pshara. So Rashi explains that what does that mean? That when the Torah says tzedek, tzedek, it's talking about one is tzedek refers to din and one tzedek refers to pshara. But the Rif and the Rosh have a different explanation. They say like this, the pasuk of tzedek tish b'dam y'secha is talking about din. The pasuk of tzedek, tzedek, Tirdoif is talking about Pshara. And what it means is as follows. When you're dealing with Din, there's one level of act. Because you're following the Din. So you'll determine what the Torah requires, what the Torah says, and that's what the dying will say. When you're dealing with Pshara, much more consideration needs to be taking place. And since much more pshara is required, much more investigation is required, that's why there the Torah says, tzedek, tzedek. Because there you're not just relying on what the Torah says, you're relying on your own svara, and therefore pshara requires much more in-depth study and investigation before you offer it. Moreover, says the Marit, that we're going to be learning extensively on Daf Lamed Gimel Mitzvashem that sometimes a dayan could be chayzer, a dayan could retract his psak. Says the Marit, that even applies by a pshara. Because the Marit explains to us that pshara doesn't just mean, okay, I have two people that come in front of me to a din Torah, I'm going to try to make a compromise. A pshara requires that the dayan really understand what's happening here, that the dayan truly try to understand what's happening here and be as fair as humanly possible. And therefore, if the dayan thinks that he said the wrong psak, he favored the wrong person, given the circumstances, we're going to learn that Flama Gimel, the den is chayzer, so too, says the Marit, is by a pshara. And it's very much in line with what we just learned. Because a pshara doesn't just mean, okay, I make a compromise. A pshara, in fact, as we learned from the Rif and the Rosh, tzedek terdoif, requires more study and more evaluation, maybe even than din. And if the dayan at the end sees that he didn't do what should have been done, then the pshara should be withdrawn. Moreover, the Gemara discusses examples of pshara. Shtei shvinas shavir menar, two ships at sea, two camels on the road. What's the Gemara, asked the Taras Chaim, trying to teach us? So says the Taras Chaim, that what we're learning from here is that sometimes there is no option other than a pshara. Since there is no other option than a pshara, so tzedek terdoif, the Torah is teaching us that the pshara becomes the din. It's not that, okay, I'm going to have to make a pshara because what else am I going to do? Rather, what the Torah is teaching us, tzedek terdoif, is in such situations the din and pshara are the same. The Netziv in the Shas Tshuvas Meshiv Dover, Chela Gimel Simin Yud, says, the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Emes u'mishpat v'shalom shiftu b'shareichem. What is that Pasuk teaching us? That the din has to come to a situation where we're going to have shalom. And sometimes the only way you could have shalom is with pshara. So therefore, the pasuk is teaching us, it's not just enough for a dayan to paskin the shayla, and now whatever will be. The dayan has to work all the way that after he did the emes, and after he did the mishpat, the result of it all must be the shift b'sharechem, the shalom. The dayan used his intellect and his talent to bring shalom. That is supposed to be the job of a dayan.